بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله الله سبحانه وتعالى has blessed us wherein we are living during these Mubarak days. These are the days of Dhul Hijjah wherein Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said ما من عمل from all the deeds we do throughout the year. Allah loves ibadat most during these 10 days. إِلَّا وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشَرَةِ. Allah loves ibadat. Ibadat means worship, remembrance of Allah, tilawat of Quran, nafil prayers, importance to sunnah, and all optional actions of ibadah in abundance in these days are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba asked, O Nabi of Allah, you say ibadat. What about striving in Allah's way, jihad fi sabilillah? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is very meritorious because the benefit is for so many others. But in these days, Allah loves one's personal worship in abundance, ibadat. Unless a person goes in Allah's way and sacrifices his wealth and himself, then obviously that is most meritorious and virtuous. So yes, we were discussing previously Sahaba radiallahu anhum and that connection with Hajj and Umrah and the Talbiyah and the Labbaik. Now we would discuss, Allah give us tawfiq, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's final Hajj. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's Hajj is known as Hajjatul Wada'. But what happened was, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the Meccan stage, he used to go to the seasons of Hajj, to those ceremonies. But there his intention was to invite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Jubair bin Mut'im says that I was there in Makkah and it was Hajj time and I went to Arafah. The Meccan people, the Quraysh never used to go to Arafah because they felt in Jahiliyyah it was only those who are non-Qurayshi who could come out of the haram. And Arafah is outside the haram. He says, but I went outside the haram into Arafah looking for my camel. And I saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there. This was during the Meccan stage where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inviting to Allah. He would go everywhere. Arafah, Muzdalifah, Mina, inviting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saving humanity from Jahannam, taking them to Jannah. Then Hijrah took place. During that time, 9 years went by. Hajj, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not perform because the injunction hadn't arrived yet making Hajj compulsory. In the 9th year, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu as the Amir of Hajj. Now there's a beautiful hadith, it's known as Hadith Jabirin al-Tawil, the lengthy hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu. It's a beautiful hadith in all the Siha kitabs, the books of ahadith. The narrator here is Muhammad bin Ali ibn al-Husayn. This is Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu's great-grandson. His name is Muhammad, who is the son of Ali. Ali Zainul Abidin, who is the son of Husayn radiallahu anhu. He says, myself and my friends, we were students of deen, we loved the Sahaba. So we came to visit Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu. And at that time, Jabir radiallahu anhu was visually impaired. So then, when we arrived there, he asked me, who are you? So I responded, I said, I am Muhammad bin Ali bin Hussein. And he was so happy that this is from the offspring of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he extended his hand to me and he opened my button of my kurta and he placed his palm on my chest. And I was very young at that time. And he said to me, my son, my child, marhaban bik, welcome to you. Anything you want, I will grant you. Sal amma shi'it. Ask whatever you want. And I asked him this question. Anyway, he was visually impaired. It was the time of prayer. He got up. He took one shawl of his. Yani nisajatin, multahifan. He tried to wrap it around his shoulders. But every time he would wrap it, he would fall because it was a little small. And then he had another shawl, a rida, on a hook, a mishjab. A mishjab is like a stick propped it into the ground where someone hooks something at that time. A simple life, like one would have a closet or someone has a hook to hang his clothing. And then he led us in prayer. And then he asked me, what's your question? And I said, please teach us about the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He then responded and said, and he counted and showed with his fingers, 9 years went by. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam remained without performing Hajj. And then came the time where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced his Hajj. It was The tenth. And Allah's Nabi said he is Hajjun, going to perform Hajj. فَقَدِمَ الْمَدِينَةَ بَشَرٌ كَثِيرٌ. Many, many people from all around came to Medina Munawwara. كُلُّهُمْ يَلْتَمِسُ أَنْ يَأْتَمَّ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Every one of them were yearning to follow and emulate Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم's Hajj and follow him and practice the same and learn from him. Explain one point. During the Medinan period, a long time had elapsed where Sahaba were yearning for Baytullah. That's why when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the dream that they would be performing Umrah and going to Makkah Sharif in Dhul Qa'dah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced and they departed. But there they were barred from entry. And it was Allah's way of making tarbiyah, to teach humanity that what Allah wants happens. So the Muslims had to return, and Surah Al-Fath, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا, was revealed, where Allah says, we granted you a clear, open victory. And Sahaba asked, is this a victory? Abu Bakr explained to them, this is أَعْظَمَ الْفَتُوحِ. He explained to the Ummah, this was the greatest victory. Because this took place latter 6th year Hijri. And now there was a pact of ceasefire between the people of Makkah and the Muslims, where they couldn't attack Medina Munawwara. So Muslims concentrated now on inviting humanity to Allah, where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent letters inviting to Allah all the kings all around the world. And in that interim, there was a leeway for interaction between the Meccan people and the Muslims of Medina Munawwara. And when the Meccans were now interacting with the Muslims, this became a means of their hidayah, where they saw the righteous, upright practices of people they knew prior to their Islam. And this became a means where many, many people hidayah embraced Islam and accepted the deen, where deen spread in these 2 years. More than even the years, the many, many years that had passed, which is the 19 years that had already elapsed. So the next year, yes, they performed the Umrah. But Hajjatul Wada' now, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is about to depart for Hajjatul Wada', for this Hajj, where people arrive in Medina Munawwara from everywhere. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Dhuhr Salah in Medina Munawwara, 4 rakats Dhuhr Salah. After the Salah, and the Salah was completed and so forth, the entire Salah. It was the 25th of Dhul Qa'dah. It was Saturday. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then departed from Medina Munawwara. And as he was departing, خَطَبَهُمْ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ خُطْبَةً, he taught the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم the etiquettes and the Hajj and so forth. And then as he was on his way to Dhul Hulayfa at a valley Aqiq, the angel of Allah comes to him, telling him that perform Salah, yeah, this is a blessed valley. Anyway, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then reached Dhul Hulayfa. He performed Asr Salah there in Dhul Hulayfa. It was 2 rakats because they were on journey and the night was spent there in Dhul Hulayfa. Now here, at this place, on the next day, which was the Sunday, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to don the ihram. And as we know, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Hajj was Qiran, where the Hajj and the Umrah is performed with one ihram. The Haji, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Makkah Mukarramah and didn't come out of ihram after Umrah. He remained in ihram. So he was to remain in ihram for a lengthy period of time. And this is the mercy of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His blessed wives, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, all were with him on this journey. So he fulfilled their rights, their conjugal rights. طَافَ عَلَى نِسَائِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He went to all his blessed wives and made ghusl. And even the next day before putting his ihram, he made ghusl for the ihram. And then Aisha radiallahu anha assisted him by applying itr upon him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He then donned the clothing of ihram. He performed dhuhr salah. It was 2 rakats. And then he recited the labbaik. The labbaik, Allahu Akbar. What is labbaik? Subhanallah. Allah give us tawfiq to recite the labbaik again and again by going to Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara, and Allah accept us to perform the Hajj and the Umrah repeatedly through His mercy and kindness. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there, where he performed his salah, he read the labbaik, and then he went to where his conveyance was. He recited the labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk, la sharika lak. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by the malaika of Allah, by Jibreel alayhi salam to make the intention of Hajj and Umrah. He also put ghisl on his hair. It's a kind of ointment to keep the hair neat. And then he rode on his conveyance. The hadith mentions وَكَانَ حَجُّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَىٰ رَحْلٍ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his hajj on a simple conveyance. And amongst his du'as were اللهم اجعله حَجًّا لَا رِيَاءَ فِيهِ وَلَا سُمْعَةَ. Oh Allah, enable me with such a hajj, in a hajj wherein I would not show off, and wherein I would not do it just for people, but for your pleasure. Obviously, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the optimum of sincerity, but this is to teach humanity. Something else interesting took place at Dhul Hulayfa is that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's wife, Asma bint Umays radiallahu anha, gave birth to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's child there. And also, as they were departing, Jibreel alayhi salam came. وَأَمَرَهُ أَنْ يَأْمُرَ أَصْحَابَهُ بِرَفْعِ الْأَصْوَاتِ. Jibreel alayhi salam told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tell your sahaba, advocate to them, raise the voice with the labbaik. Raise the voice with the labbaik, subhanallah. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik. Innal hamda وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. الله أكبر. Allah give us tawfiq. Abdullah bin Wabisa radiallahu anhu narrates from his grandfather Wabisa radiallahu anhu, who says Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us. We were among the tribes that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to. We were staying in Mina. He came with Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, and he gave us dawat. We heard about him, but we were so unfortunate that we didn't accept his message at that time. Amongst us was a man, Maysara bin Masruq Absi. And he says to our people, our community, our tribe, he says, by Allah, if we follow this man and believe in him, and we take him to our community, and he teaches the people to Allah, because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was prepared to go anyway. As he would invite the different, tribes to Allah, he would even offer his services, that I will come with you to invite your people. You take me to your people, you be my guide, and you take me to them, and I will talk to them. I will talk to your communities. So Maysara is telling them that let's take him home, and definitely his deen will reach the four corners of the world, and what he's speaking is true. So all of us, the people, responded to Maysara that, please Maysara, stop the stories of yours. Do not interfere with us. We do not want to accept him. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the interest of Maysara radiallahu anhu. So he spoke to him individually, because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would invite to Allah collectively, and he would invite to Allah individually. And after Maysara radiallahu anhu heard this dawat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ma ahsana kalamak wa anwarahu. How beautiful is your kalam. How enlightening is your words, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But my worry is, my entire community are opposing me. How can I do anything without them? They are closest to me. I need their support. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented the message to Maysara. But Allah's Nabi would never force. He would make the deen available. He would encourage, but he would never force. When he saw that Maysara was not prepared to take the step yet, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on his way. But obviously, he would make dua for humanity. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left them, he went to other tribes. As Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, where he discusses these jolas, these gush, this inviting to Allah, and these travels of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the different communities. But then Maysara, as he was returning with his community, with a heavy heart, knowing deep down that the right thing was to accept the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he requested his people, come, let's go to the Jews of Fadak, because the Jews there have knowledge of history, and they have the holy books. Let's ask them. So they agreed, we passed this area, Fadak, on our way home, and we spoke to the scholars. They took out their scriptures, and they put it before them, and they opened these scriptures, and they recited to us the clear mention of the final Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his description. And we saw, this was the man we saw in front of us. This was the man we saw in front of us. النبي الأمي العربي يركب الجمل ويجتزئ بالكسرة، وليس بالطويل ولا بالقصير ولا بالجعد ولا بالسبط، في عينيه حمرة مشرب اللون. And the different descriptions they read. He is that Nabi of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم who is miraculously unlettered. To prove to humanity that his eloquent Quran comes from Allah. Al-Arabi, he is from Arab descent. The conveyance he would ride on would be the camel, and the food that he would eat is minimal and he would share with everyone. His size is perfect and moderate. His hair is straight with a wave and a slight curl. And this report describes Allah's Nabi's eyes and his color. Maisha is telling them, this is the man we saw, we want him. This Jewish scholar advised this Arab tribe that you all should follow him, because we worry our Jewish people are jealous of him. And obviously the Jews were jealous of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they were upset that Nubuwa came out from the Bani Israel. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam before Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were from the Bani Israel, but Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the final Nabi of Allah, Allah sent him from Bani Ismail, the children of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And in this, Maysara then encourages his people, come, let's return. It's clear now. They all said, no, not this year. We'll see next year. We will return for Hajj next year. Ya Allah, we learn a lesson here. When we have intentions to take the steps towards good, never procrastinate. Never delay the works of good. Anyway, we returned. The next year, they were not prepared to go for Hajj as well. And not long after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned to Medina. We went and made hijrah to Medina Munawwara. And years later, in Hajjatul Wada', years later, now this would be 15 years later, Maysara says, I went for Hajj when I heard that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going for Hajj again. I arrived there, and on Arafah and Mina, I came before the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I said, oh Nabi of Allah, you know me. He said, of course I know you, Ya Allah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not forget the people, because he would meet them and invite them and he would make dua for them, because he had heart for humanity. And then Maysara says, oh Nabi of Allah, ma ziltu harisan ala tiba'ik. I always had the yearning desire to follow you from the time you came to us with my tribe. But what happened is we delayed. O Nabi of Allah, most of those with me at that time have died. O Nabi of Allah, what is their abode? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever dies without Islam goes to Jahannam. Then Maysara radiallahu anhu embraces Islam. He praises Allah and thanks Allah. And then he stayed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he also was very close to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this transitory world. Then as they carried on, they passed an area called Usfan. And here Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Ayyu wadin hada? What valley is this, O Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? He said, Wadi Usfan. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَقَدْ مَرَّ بِهِ هُودٌ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ وَصَالِحْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ عَلَى بَكْرَيْنْ أَحْمَرَيْنِ خِطَابُهُمَ الْلِيفِ يُلَبُّونَ يُحَجُّونَ. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hud alayhi salam and Hazrat Salih alayhi salam passed this region with their conveyances, simple conveyances, with their reins of fiber, and here of palm fiber. And they were reciting the labbaik and they were going on their hajj. And it was in this area where Hazrat Suraqa bin Malik radiallahu anhu asked, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you give us a detailed explanation of the hajj? And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them the dars of hajj there and then. Then they passed an area called Sarif, a famous area in history, where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a few years ago wedded Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha. But there it was that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha went into Hayd, her menstrual cycle, and she was very, very emotioned by this. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees her very emotional and he gives her himma that do not feel bad. Allah will make a plan. This is Allah's decree. This is Allah's decree that Allah decreed upon the daughters of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Do not worry. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes, we will work around it. So this happened there at Sarif. And here it was at Sarif where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you haven't brought along with you your hadi, your sacrificial animal, and you want to make your intention of umrah, you can do so. And if you haven't, if you have your sacrificial animal with you, then you cannot do so. Because here Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to perform the tamattu' Hajj, where the Umrah is performed and then the Haji comes out of Ihram, and then as the days of Hajj starts, he starts another Ihram. This was to actually abrogate the practice of Jahiliyyah, where this was not allowed, the Umrah during the days of Hajj. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's every practice was to bring alive the deen and remove and eradicate the practices of Jahiliyyah, as we find throughout his Mubarak Hajj. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived at an area called Dhutuwa or Dhutuwa, and they spent that Sunday night there. It was the 4th of Dhul Hijjah. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the next morning performed Fajr Salah there. He made ghusl there and he entered Makkah Mukarramah. And he said, as he passed the valley called Al-Azraq, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah is showing me, كَأَنِّي أَنظُرُ إِلَى مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. It's as though I can see Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam in front of me. وَلَهُ جُعَارٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِالتَّلْبِيَةِ. And he is in a loud tone calling out the labbaik for Allah's pleasure. وَلَهُ جُعَارٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِالتَّلْبِيَةِ. Loudly calling out the labbaik. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he was passing here, and Allah is showing me how he passed, calling out the labbaik loudly. And as well, Sahaba radiallahu anhum were also loudly reciting the slogan of the lover of Allah, which is the labbaik. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that same day entered Makkah Mukarramah from an upper region of Makkah known as Qada. And there's a great encouragement in deen to try and enter Makkah Mukarramah from this region, and exit Makkah Mukarramah from the Sufla region. And this is the sunnah practice, the practice of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was duha time when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the Haram Sharif, the masjid, and he went and faced the Qibla and he made dua, and then he went straight to the Kaaba without performing Tahiyyatul Masjid, because this is the speciality of Al-Masjidul Haram, where as one enters, one goes straight to the Kaaba. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the Hajri Aswad and indicated to the Hajri Aswad and made istilam and then performed this tawaf. How amazing is this practice of tawaf, where the lover of Allah circumambulates around the Baytullah in the love of Allah, making dua, beseeching Allah. So much of mercies descend on the Baytullah, subhanallah. Ulama equate it as though one is in a washing machine, cleansing himself from the sins, protecting his gaze to such an extent that normally we are told to protect our gaze. Here, in front of the Baytullah, a person would not even think of such a thing, or looking at another, at the opposite sex, with an evil eye, because this is such a revered place, such a place of barakah, such a place of protection. Wherever else in the world, a believer is cautious not to go near the woman's area and so forth. But by Baytullah, this is not even a thought that crosses the mind of the believer, male and female, because this is such a revered place of such barakah. Allah take us there again and again. Allah give us tawfiq. Just now we had some gush and met some brothers, a new Muslim brother, Brother Hussein Brendan, and he had another friend of his, Alex. So we sat together, we had tea, and we were telling them about the Hajj. Allahu Akbar. They were so amazed at the beauty of the Hajj. And then Allah gave me tawfiq to explain to them Suratul Baqarah, chapter 2 of the Quran, from verse number 196. That's why Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, as he was explaining the Hajj to his students, and he explained where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pelt the jamarat from, he said, from here he who upon whom Suratul Baqarah was revealed would pelt. And he referred to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he who upon whom Suratul Baqarah was revealed. Interestingly, he referred to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with such a reference because Suratul Baqarah discusses Hajj in such a beautiful manner. I encourage one and all, study the verses of the Quran, Surah Baqarah, ayat number 196 onward. And subhanallah, we will remember our Hajjs, or whoever went for Hajj would remember those Mubarak lands, and whoever hadn't been yet would yearn and beg Allah to accept us to go for Hajj again and again through His grace and mercy. And also share the message of Deen and Quran with humanity. On the tawaf of Baytullah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to perform Sa'i upon Safa and Marwa. As Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ أَوْ اِعْتَمَرَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَطَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا. And he said, Nabda'u bima bada'a Allah bihi. We start from Safa because Allah mentioned Safa first. And he performed the sa'i. And the haji goes between Safa and Marwa, making dua, running where Hajar alayhi salam ran, as the Allah wala expresses this Safa so beautifully, where he says, Safa ya Safa'i an sifati wa marwati, muru'atu qalbi an siwa hubbihi qafri. He says, my Safa is to teach me, to cleanse my heart from evil traits and qualities. And my Marwa is to learn morality in my heart and to teach my heart this lesson, that my heart towards everything else besides Allah is barren, and my heart is a place to insert the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after that said to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that if I had not intended earlier, I would also have come out of ihram, but I made this intention already. And he who hasn't brought his sacrificial animal must come out of ihram and now complete his umrah, and afterwards before hajj he will come into ihram again. Scholars discuss that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this so that sahaba radhiyallahu anhum don't feel bad, but the practice of jahiliyyah had to be eradicated. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum then came out of the ihram, except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the other few who had brought the sacrificial animals. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hajj and Umrah is together, like this. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, forever and ever, as Suraqa radiallahu anhu asked this question, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that. And at that time, Ali radiallahu anhu had arrived with the camels of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 100 camels from Yemen. He was out there with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum teaching deen in Yemen, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent the message that we are performing Hajj, and he had come. Fatima radiallahu anha was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Interestingly, she had come out of her ihram, and Ali radiallahu anhu had asked her, that you have come out of ihram, did you ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She says, yes, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me so when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Ali radiallahu anhu, you have to remain in your ihram, because what intention did you make? He said, O Nabi of Allah, I said, O Allah, I intend and I make my labbaik with the same intention that your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, this is my intention, you will remain in ihram like me. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in his residence for the remaining days, four more days. And on the morning of the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, at the time of Jash, Salah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for Mina. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu had also put on the ihram at that time. And they accompanied sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Mina, where they performed five salahs. Here at this area, Surah Mursalat was revealed on the evening of this day. So five salahs were performed there. The next day, Fajr, which was a Friday, after that, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to Arafat. And where Sahaba radiallahu anhum had erected for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a tent at a place called Namira, a masjid stands there today. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in the tent for a while, and he then mounted his camel Qaswa, and he went in the direction of the valley of Arafat, and there he delivered this lengthy khutbah with amazing advices in this khutbah of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. En route to Arafah, certain of the Quraysh were sure that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to stop on the day of Arafah, he's going to stop in Muzdalifah. Because it was the practice of Quraysh in Jahiliyyah that they would remain in Muzdalifah and they would not come out of the Haram, because Arafah is just outside the Haram. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crossed and passed Muzdalifah and arrived in Arafah. So this was a shock to them. And then when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rendered this khutbah, Allahu Akbar, he highlighted so many amazing things. And the highlight of his khutbah was wherein he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum alaykum haramun ka hurmati yawmikum hadha, fi shahrikum hadha, fi baladikum hadha. Wherein Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in different ways expressed the importance of respect for one another, to look up to every person and never look down upon anyone. Wherein he asked, what day is this? What month is this? What lands are these? And then he explained that like these are sacred lands, blessed lands, it's sacred times, it's blessed days. In the same way, each one's life, wealth, honor is sacred like this day, like this month, like these lands. O my Sahaba, O my Ummah, O the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, Hakan Allah, all the practices of Jahiliyyah is nullified I destroy it. Tahta qadamayya hatain, these feet of mine here, I trample on the practices of jahiliyyah and bloodshed that was taking place in jahiliyyah for futile matters, shed blood and kill people and disunite. These are matters that are destroyed and violated. Things of jahiliyyah from the past, they no longer remain in Islam. Riba is totally destroyed. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam abrogated it and he destroyed all forms of riba. Mawdu'un kulluhu. And he said, even my uncle Hazrat Abbas radiyallahu anhu, all of it, nothing is accepted from riba. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fear Allah in regard to the treatment of your woman folk. You have taken them with Allah's amana, and on taking Allah's name, they became halal for you. And he explained the rights of woman folk on such an important occasion. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what are your rights over your woman folk and their rights over you, and so forth. And he explained this, subhanallah. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that certainly you would be asked about me. And if you are going to be asked about your Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would you say to Allah? And all the Sahaba responded, Nashhad, O Nabi of Allah, we would certainly bear testimony, أَنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ وَأَدَّيْتَ وَنَصَحْتَ, that you conveyed the entire deen completely to humanity, and you fulfilled the amana, and you sincerely gave of yourself for humanity's benefit. When Sahaba responded in this manner, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam became so happy that such a witness he got from his ummah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be happy with him. And he indicated to the sky, and then indicating to the people, saying, oh my Allah, Allahumma shahad, oh Allah, you witness that the people are happy that I conveyed your entire deen to them. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also made dua here. After that, he made dua after this khutbah. Dhuhr and Asr Salah was performed. Bilal radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu was the muadhin, and Asr Salah, Dhuhr and Asr was performed together there, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent his time in dua, and he made dua, and he remained standing making dua up till almost sunset. The sun was orange, the disk was about to set. He made so much of dua for his ummah that Ummul Fadl Lubaba radiyallahu anha, Hazrat Abbas radiyallahu anhu's blessed wife, one of the earliest Muslimat, Sahabiyat radiyallahu anhunna, she was wondering, is Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasting? She actually sent milk. And then she realized, yes, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not fasting, because the Haji in Arafah doesn't fast. But everyone else, the entire ummah, when not in Hajj, are encouraged to fast on the day of Arafah. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the sun set, was about to depart to Muzdalifah. But he was awaiting someone, subhanallah. And everyone was wondering, who is Allah's Nabi waiting for? He must be someone very special. After some time, Hazrat Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, a young Sahabi, and a Sahabi who was of dark skin, he came. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept him behind his person, behind himself, on his conveyance. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then departed to Muzdalifah. Subhanallah. He was showing humanity practically, like he taught humanity all his life, like he taught humanity that everyone is respected. Everyone are the creation of Allah, irrespective of color, race, nationality, background, language. That means nothing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught humanity this verbally, he showed it to humanity and proved it to them practically. Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu's mother was Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha. She was of African origin. She was of dark skin. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved her so much. She spent more time with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than any other human on this earth. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would refer to her as my mother after my mother. Here Usama was young. He was but 18 years old. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam puts him behind himself on his conveyance to show humanity that Allah's Nabi loves everyone. And our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves everyone. And everyone, irrespective of their color, race, background, nationality, they belong to the ummah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught humanity. Love for all, respect for all, kindness to all. Ya akhi fil hindi aw fil maghribi. Ya akhi fil hindi aw fil maghribi. Ana minka anta minni anta bi. La tasal an unsuri aw nasabi. Innahu al-islamu ummi wa abi. Ya akhi fil hindi aw في المغربي يا أخي في الهند أو في المغربي أنا منك أنت مني أنت بي لا تسل عن عنصري أو نسبي إنه الإسلام أمي وأبي. So we beg you, respected listeners, let's have love to humanity. We are living in a wonderful country. There's so many wonderful people out there. There are so many people out there, the majority of whom of dark skin. Let's show them love. Let's practically show them our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's character. Let's show them respect. Let's speak to people politely. Let's speak to people kindly. Let's speak to people respectfully. And let's share our beautiful deen with them. It is their haqq. Allah has brought us here for this message to share deen with them. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final Nabi of Allah. He is the final Nabi of Allah. In Hajj, what did he say? La fadla li arabiyyin ala ajamiyyin, wa la li ajamiyyin ala arabiyyin, illa bit taqwa. O my ummah, there is no superiority for one over the other, irrespective of color, race, background, nationality. Allah's Nabi said, your father is the same, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Your Nabi is the same, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Superiority comes with taqwa, O my ummah. This was what he taught throughout his life. This was one of his lectures in Hajjatul Wada'. And throughout his life, in the report of Tirmidhi, Allah's Nabi said, do not call out the slogans of Jahiliyyah. What is the slogans of Jahiliyyah? The slogans of the paganistic period of the past, what Allah's Nabi abrogated and destroyed and denounced and refuted. And he tried hard to take this out of his ummah, like it was out of Sahaba radiallahu anhum's life, this evil quality. Because Sahaba radiallahu anhum loved each other. They cared for each other. Allah's Nabi, the first effort he made in Medina Munawwara, he took a Muhajiri and he took an Ansari and he said, you are brothers. This is what he taught humanity. We are brothers. In this hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tad'u bid'a'wa al-jahiliyyah. Don't call the slogans of jahiliyyah. فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ جُثَى جَهَنَّمْ. Because this makes one the fuel and the stones and the rocks of Jahannam. Sahaba asked, what if someone prays diligently, fasts abundantly? Allah's Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he'll still be cast into Jahannam because of this evil trait of looking down upon others because of their color, race, nationality, background, language, nation, nationality. Allah's Nabi said, call out the slogans of Allah who calls you Muslim, Mu'min. Wad'u bid'a'wa Allah alladhi sammakum bihi al-Muslimin, al-Mu'minin, ibadallah. Ya'ani ya ibadallah. This is Allah's Nabi's sentiments and messages throughout his Mubarak life. This is what he highlighted with such importance and emphasis verbally, practically. And throughout our history we learn whenever the ummah suffered a setback, it was because of this evil trait that kept on coming back. And the only way this will come out is we have to make the effort of iman. We have to invite to Allah. We have to remind each other to love humanity. And we have to beg Allah to remove this evil trait of hypocrisy from our hearts, my respected listeners, my respected lovers of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We have to love Sahaba and emulate Sahaba and follow Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who sacrificed everything for deen to reach the four corners of the world. We have come here. Allah brought us here. Let's share this deen with humanity, with all people, all our associates, friends, comrades, partners, employers, employees. Let's share this beautiful deen with the less fortunate. How happy people become when we make the Quran Sharif available to them. How happy do people become when we share when we speak to them kindly and share our bread with them and feed them and help them and support them and tell them that this is the practice and the teaching of our deen. Yes, I understand many feed others, help others with hampers and so forth. But fulfill the duty completely. Part of the duty is to share deen with them. Make some literature on Islam available to them and invite them to Allah. Inviting to Allah is the duty of the believer, is the work of the believer. This is what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made every one of us responsible to do throughout his life and his Hajj. And this is what Allah says, Allah orders in the Quran Kareem, Surah Yusuf. Study this verse, Ayah 110. O Nabi of Allah, Qul, keh dijiye, tell your ummat, hadihi sabili, this is my path, this is my way, this is my road. Ad'u ilallah, I am an inviter to Allah. Ala basira, with wisdom, insight, conviction. Ana wa man ittaba'ani, and inviting to Allah is my work, my path, my road, my way of life. And this is the way of life for my entire ummah, all those who follow me. Wa man ittaba'ani, mera sare ittiba karne wale, those who follow me, their work is to invite to Allah, invite to Allah, invite to deen, invite to love of humanity, invite to kindness to humanity. Let's do and invite others to do and help others to do, and like that we will get stronger and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through this wonderful trait of sharing the deen, when we leave this world, our book of deeds don't close. But what we imparted in others and what we shared with others of our beautiful deen, that will continue coming into our account as we have left this world already. Time has elapsed. We will continue. Allah give us tawfiq. I would complete this week's discussion with this beautiful hadith of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he said this in Hajjatul Wada' as well. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Naddar Allahum ra'an. O Allah, keep fresh and keep illustrious and keep bright and keep beautiful and keep young and keep strong. Naddar Allah imra'an, that individual who hears my words and my teachings and he remembers it and learns it and shares it and imparts it unto others. Such an individual receives Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's du'as. And these du'as, respected listeners, are guaranteed. And then towards the end of the same khutbah in Mina, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, O my ummah, thalathun la yughillu alayhinna qalbu mri'in muslimin. Three things a believer's heart should never be void of. And ghulul also means to snatch away. He shouldn't snatch and take out these three traits and qualities from his life, because these three qualities are important for the preservation of one's iman. Number one, ikhlasul amali lillah, to sincerely please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do everything solely, wholly for Allah's pleasure. And number two, loyalty towards the ruler of the ummah. And number three, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلُزُومُ جَمَاعَتِهِمْ, and keep the ummah together. Don't split and don't disunite. Keep the ummah together with unity. Why must we cause fitna? Why must we spread fitna? Let's preserve our tongues. Keep the ummah together. Think before we speak. If we say something that will split the ummah, what disruption, what fitna can we cause? And how would we be answerable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Never split the beautiful ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Sahaba radiallahu anhum, on many occasions tolerated so many things, but just to keep the ummah together. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us, inshallah, and let's keep the ummah together. Allah ta'ala accept us all. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.